Welcome back.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so we teased an announcement in the last episode. So we do have a big announcement, and we're only going to tell you at the end. I'm just joking.
Tune in next week.
Make you listen to the rest of it. So many people do that, though, like on like videos and stuff.
That's so annoying.
Anyways,
I would literally stop watching the videos just
to spite them.
I'm so serious. That's so annoying.
Okay, so our announcement is we're actually adding a third person to our podcast. The person's not here yet.
I know. Producer is like technically,
yeah, fifth, I guess. Yeah. We're adding another person to the podcast. Just when you thought it wasn't enough, we decided to add, you know, we collectively as a group decided to add.
Just a very big life decision for all of us.
Just kidding. This was more Steven and Ashley's contribution. They said, we really want to add
more
this person.
More Steven's contribution, honestly.
Ash is pregnant, so yay. Yep.
I am. Pregnant and I had to move out of my one-bedroom apartment.
That's true. So that was another reason why we hadn't been.
So it's been a little chaotic. But yeah, I found out when you were in Brazil, and so it was weird because you didn't know.
Oh my gosh, you should have told me while we were recording a podcast. That'd be so funny.
I don't know. That would have been kind of crazy.
That would have been funny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it would have been hard to talk about, like, murder and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I'm pregnant tonight. We're going to talk about... Oh, no.
It's basically what we're doing now, but...
Yikes.
I mean, it's fine.
Anyways, so that's the big announcement. And email us. Email us if you think she's going to have a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
At shotofcrime@gmail.com.
If you're right, I don't know what you'll get.
If you're right, we will do something.
There you go.
Don't know what we'll do, but we'll do something.
We'll send you pictures of Bella's feet.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
Free anyways. Defeat. Just send me money.
Listen, that is, yeah. $1,000 per toe is my going rate.
No, for real. Oh, gosh.
Anyways.
All right, so we'll get into my story. My story is about a couple named Mike and Dahlia DiPolito. No?
Not
I feel like every time
all.
We say each other, like, the name of the story,
I'm
we always
I'm shocked
look.
You didn't know my story last week, though, because it was, like, viral.
Oh, duh, last week.
We're recording.
I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I feel like I know some random little stories, but sometimes I don't know like the really big ones.
Yeah, that makes me happy though, because it was more interesting to tell you.
That is
but
true.
Yeah, I'm the type of person that does not remember names, so yeah. I feel like halfway through
knowing
your story, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this.
You might know this one.
Yeah.
So the story takes place in 2009 in Boynton Beach, Florida. Yours started out in Florida last week. Michael DiPolito, who was definitely like. Imagine Jersey Shore, gym tan, laundry kind of guy. Like, that's just who he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was married. I didn't get her name because it's not really, doesn't really matter. But he was married.
She matters, but.
She does matter, and it's really sad what he does. But one night, he decided to order an escort online. And the woman who he ended up getting was Dahlia. So she showed up at his door. And then apparently it was love at first sight, and he divorced his wife of 7 years and got together with the escort, which I never understand why, like, people do this on both sides, because it's like, you're used to this lifestyle, and you think just because you're getting married now, everything is just going to work out. Like,
yeah,
it's just weird. It's why? You were married to someone for 7 years, and you're just going to be like, okay, bye. That's just messed up. But
it smells like a midlife crisis to me.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, love at first sight. They were together less than a year before they decided to get married. I think it was like exactly 6 months or something. But their relationship was very sexual. They loved partying, just kind of that young, literally Jersey Shore.
Well,
vibes.
And it's like their thing they have in common that they met off of. So
yep.
You know what I mean? Like that's if it starts that way, it's like. That's what you go back to.
Yeah.
They might not be having actual, like, interesting
real.
Conversations about things they relate to.
Yes, exactly. Michael had a really bad history involvement with drugs. He was dealing steroids out of his apartment, And at one time, he was involved with organized crime. It was like, they never really talked about it in detail.
I think it's funny that it's never referred to as like disorganized crime. Like, it's always organized.
That's very true.
But crime is like the least organized. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's funny.
I agree. That's funny. Years before that, he had finally gotten in trouble with the law and he was put on probation for 28 years. After that, he really was like cleaning up his life and like,
it's kind of a long time for
probation. I didn't know that you did that for that long.
Yeah.
But he kind of took that as a sign to kind of change up his life and stop doing that. He still did like weed and like things like that weren't, you know, the worst thing in the world. Like he would still do that kind of stuff, but he definitely wasn't as involved.
Like personally or selling?
Personally. Yeah. Like, but he wasn't involved.
So in his mind, he's probably like, I'm not selling, so it's not a big deal.
Yes, and he wasn't involved with the people he would hang out around and all that stuff. Soon after he got married with Dahlia, some strange things started happening. So about a month after they got married, there was a knock at his door from his probation officer. And he was pretty surprised because he had probation officers visit, but this time the probation officer said they wanted to do a search in the house, and that hadn't really happened since he got put on probation. It also didn't, you usually wouldn't get these like random visits if you were doing good, which he was. Like he hadn't, like nothing had ever happened in a couple years. So he definitely thought that was weird. They searched his house and they didn't find anything good for him, because even if they had found like weed, it would have been like a big deal.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I already said that. Right after that, when he was out again, I think he was out with friends, police randomly stopped him and said that they had anonymous tip that he was dealing drugs out of his car. So they searched the whole car and they didn't find anything. And so at this point, he really started to feel like somebody was out to get him. Like maybe it was somebody he used to be involved with before, especially because he was involved in
It could have been a long list of people that
is out to get him.
Yeah.
And if you're in that world, like, you can't fully escape the people in that world.
No. Yeah,
like,
no.
Like, that's hard.
Even just the information you, like, the knowledge you that have you know the world people, makes you
yeah,
a threat.
Like, if you know of any drug dealers, like, yeah. Especially because instead of going to jail, he just got on probation for a long time. Like, that's almost sometimes more dangerous.
I do feel like that's not often thought of when you enter that world of, like,
mm-hmm.
realistically how hard it is to get out and just have a normal life. If you ever want that as an option, it's very difficult.
Which is why a lot of people don't get out of it and they stay in it forever.
Yeah, because it's
almost
harder,
scarier.
So it's like something to think about, like, do you really want to commit to this lifestyle forever?
Do you want to join a gang or not?
No, for real though. Like,
no, yeah, for sure.
Because some people, I think especially when you're young, you think of it as being a temporary thing that you're doing to find community or whatever because you think it's cool. You don't think about how hard it is to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's like, it's like that with many things.
Oh, but. Yeah, for sure. So some time had passed, and then there was another anonymous call to the police that he was dealing drugs again. They searched his car again this time, and they did find a little bag of cocaine tucked up in his spare tire. Somehow, I don't know how, but Michael talked himself out of being arrested, and they let him go, which he was very surprised at himself. Like, he didn't know how he got away with that. At this point, Michael realized someone is definitely trying to sabotage him. So he was going through all the people in his head that it could have possibly been, and he couldn't really think of who would want to do that. Or he thought of many people and were like, I don't know. Okay, so back to Dahlia. Dahlia went to a friend named Mohammed, which apparently she had some kind of thing in the past with. I mean, she was an escort, so I wouldn't doubt if it was just like a one-time thing. I don't know. But she had some kind of connection to him. And she told him that Michael had been abusing her and that she got in too fast with the relationship and now she didn't know how to get out. She also referenced, like, he has a bad past and if I get out, I don't know if he's going to do something. But it seemed like she was definitely just trying to, like, make up excuses for, like, why she didn't want to get out. Mohammed actually, after this, went to the police because he was concerned for her, obviously. And then the next day, Dahlia went to the gym early in the morning. She always usually did that. It was a little bit before 6 a.m. And while she was there, she received a call from the police. He called her at around 6:40 a.m. And he told her that she needed to come back to her house right away. When she got back, there was yellow tape on the grass and around her front door. So clearly something happened. She walks over to the police sergeant and he says, like, is Michael your husband? And she's like, yeah. And she seems kind of like what's going on, obviously. Yeah. And he's like, there was a disturbance a couple hours ago or something. No, it was like minutes. There was a disturbance. Your neighbors heard it, called us. It looks like he was shot and killed. And she starts freaking out, obviously. She's like crying, like she's like crying in his arms and stuff. It's like a whole big deal, obviously. And so he's asking her there, which I feel like is a little inappropriate. Like, do you know of anybody that this could be? Like, she's like freaking out. And he's like asking her that. And she's like, I don't know. He's on probation. She kept saying that. And then they were like, just get in the car. We'll take you to the police station. So they bring Dahlia into the police station, and they actually bring, like, while she's sitting there, they find the guy apparently that had killed him, like, ran out the house. And so they got him, brought him to the police station. And while she's like sitting in the room, they actually bring him in the room and ask her if she knows the man. And she says, no, I've never seen him. And so then they take him out of the room. He was probably in there for like 5 seconds. So it's probably confusing, but so Michael never actually died. He actually wasn't in the apartment at the time. The whole thing was set up. So let me go back. A couple months prior, Dahlia had met with an old lover friend guy, another one who was also named Mike. And she had convinced him to help her with something. She asked him to call Michael.
So this is like a client.
Mike?
Yeah.
It was somebody, not sure if she was like an escort to him, if she was like his girlfriend.
Because I feel like sometimes clients, like you have different relationship with clients. So yeah. Sometimes it's like you're closer. And yeah, you go
it could have been that. It's not really like said. It's just okay. Someone she knew in the past. So Mike, she convinces Mike to call Michael. I don't know why they're both named that. And I'll call Mike, the guy she called, and Michael, the guy that her husband. So she convinces him to call Michael and tell him that Mike was a lawyer and that it would be a good idea for him to transfer the house, like, ownership to Dahlia because of his probation. So Mike, like, convinces Michael to do that because he says it looks better for him because he's on probation, which makes absolutely no sense. Like, that doesn't, like, correlate. But for some reason, Michael, like, believes him. This random dude that calls him and says he's a lawyer. Like, it's just, I don't know why he believed him. But he does. And so they do that. The next day, they go and change it over to Dahlia's. So the guy that Dahlia had met with before this, Muhammad, the guy that she said, like, he was abusing me, blah, blah, blah. She at that time, she had told him she was really concerned for her safety. And she said, I think you need to kill my husband. So she asks Mohammed to kill her husband. And Mohammed was like, no, I'm not doing that. No. Like, no. And so she started threatening Mohammed. And he got, like, really upset and was like, no, what the heck? And then just leaves. So he ended up going to the police station and telling them exactly what was happening. Like, hey, she met with me. She wants to kill her husband. I obviously said no. She's probably going to go and ask someone else. Like, I just want to make this known. So the police decide they want to set her up because at this point they know she wants to kill her husband, but they don't have enough to, like, really get her. And so they're like, let's just keep going with this to see if we can just, like, get more information. So they set her, they set Muhammad up with cameras in his car and has him, like, go back to her and, like, okay, I'll help you. I'm not going to do it, but I can help, like, find somebody that can. So they're in the car and there's, like, camera footage of this, obviously. And she talks about how she can't divorce him because he has lots of connections, blah, blah, blah. And then she hands Muhammad money. And at that moment, obviously, like, detectives realize, okay, we have something physical. Like, she gave him money. And in the envelope, there was a picture of her husband. And so they're like, okay, we have something. But then they decide they want to just keep going further. So, oh, I haven't mentioned this yet. So the reason why this is a big case, it got bigger after, but the police station where they were located conveniently had connections with Cops, the show, and so it was like an episode on it, and so that's another reason why they kept going further with it.
Gotcha. That makes more sense, because I'm like, there's a lot of energy being put into this.
Which it comes back later in the story, and it's a big part of her defense, but we'll get there.
Ooh, interesting.
So Muhammad pretends to arrange a time that Dahlia can meet up with the guy who's going to kill her husband. Mm-hmm. He was actually an undercover narcotics officer. So she thought he was a hitman who was going to kill her husband. And so I already talked about that. Obviously, by the way, the person who was obviously calling the cops on him and planting drugs was her. I don't know if you connected that, but yeah. Okay, so Dahlia thinks she's meeting an actual hitman. And what's crazy is that in the conversation, too, there's a video of it. But she didn't have the full amount of money that, like, it was requested. And she's just so stupid. She straight up tells him, oh, you can kill him as he's coming out of the bank because he'll have money on him. And so then you can just take it from him. Like, she's literally... He's paying for his own death, like his own kill. Like, that makes no sense. Oh, it's so stupid.
I mean, it's kind of a boss move. It's like, he can pay you the rest.
That's so crazy. I kill him, then just take his money. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So they staged the whole thing. They arranged everything. But Michael didn't know. They didn't want to tell him beforehand to, like, make him freak out and stop the whole thing.
Because he might try to, like, confront her.
Exactly. So the day that everything was supposed to happen, they go to the house. It's, like, super early because she left at, like, six or something. And there's footage of this, obviously, because it's all in the show. But they, like, open the door, and then he, like, answers and looks like he's, like, half awake. But, like, while he's half awake, this poor man, the guy, there's, like, five police officers, and they come in and are, like, trying to talk to him. And he's, like, what's happening? What's happening? And he's, like, we need to take you out because your wife's trying to kill you. And he's, like, what? Like, he literally, like, steps back and, like, sits down on, like, the stairs. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, this poor guy, like, you guys gave him no, like, time to react. But he goes with them, obviously. And while he's at the police station, they, like, let him watch all the undercover footage of her, like, talking to the guy and talking to Muhammad and all that stuff. He actually tells the police that he's, like, obviously upset, but he's not shocked because he said, like, 1 month into the marriage, he noticed just weird things that she would do. And he eventually said he was starting to catch on to the fact that she was the one, like, calling the cops on him because they would go out and then, like, cops would just show up and he, like, mm-hmm. no one knew we were here. So he was eventually catching on. Okay, so now back to where she's called into the station. They decided to, like, she's like, obviously acting like she wasn't a part of it. She's saying, like, I don't know what happened, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And they decided to break the news to her that the whole thing was a setup. And the police officer tells her, like, we're done playing games. We know what happened. You're going to be arrested for this. And she starts crying, of course, and saying, like, I didn't do anything. And then he tells her, obviously she knows this, but he's saying, like, Michael's alive. And she goes, thank God. And he's like, you're such we know, we have literal proof of you trying to do this. And so the police officer literally just
take
laughs.
Take it till you make it,
like,
baby.
He literally is like, what? And then she starts asking to see Michael, and they tell her, no, he doesn't want to see you. Obviously,
like,
you just
tried
killing him.
Can I just have a meeting with him really quick?
Literally. So they handcuff her, and then as they're about to bring her out, they decide to bring him in for, like, a second. I don't know why. I mean, for the show. After she finds out. So he, like, you don't see him, but he stands by the door, and she's crying, and she's like, Mike, come in here, come in here. And she almost gets, like a mom trying to tell their kid, like, come here right now. Like, she literally talks like that, and I'm like, who are you? Like, you tried killing this man. And she's like, Mike, come here right now. I'm like, no. And he's like, no. And then he just walks away. Oh, jeez. Man, it's so crazy. So once they arrest her, they, like, bring her to, like, jail or whatever, and they tell her she has one phone call. And at this point, you would think
she calls Mike.
Out of all the people to call, she calls Mike. I'm like, why? Why would you do that?
Mike or Michael? Mike?
Michael, sorry.
She
calls him Mike at some point, so I forgot. But she calls Michael.
Okay, I said that jokingly.
Oh, no, she legit calls him. Wow. And it's like, I was going to play the conversation, but it's like 5 minutes long. But the conversation is so frustrating because she's, first of all, delusional. And she's, like, so gaslighting him to try to convince him to, like, actually believe that she didn't do it when there's all this footage. But she's saying things like, I didn't do it. I don't know what they're saying. I need your help. I need you to come down here and I need your help. And he's like, no, there's some points where like he almost like, it's almost like he's trying to believe her, but then he like kind of snaps back and is like, no, I know what's going on. But she at one point goes like, at one point she says like, he says like, I've seen everything. I know that what you said, I know what you talked to Muhammad about. I know what you talked to the fake hitman or whatever. And she's like, I've seen everything that you've seen. They've showed me everything you've seen. And I'm telling you, it's not true. And he's like, what do you mean? It's not true. But she kept repeating
she's
the same
thing. She's trying to like gaslight him.
Yes,
like,
exactly. And he's like, what are you talking about? And then at one point she goes, you're just not trying to help me. Like, you're not doing anything to help me. And he's like, I literally couldn't do anything even if I wanted to. And she's like, yeah, you don't want to. And he's like, what? Like, this is so crazy. So then at one point, I think he just kind of, in a way, gives in a little bit just to kind of help his situation, because he says, she like mentions how financially like she needs help or something. And he goes, well, I will help your mom financially if you sign the house back to my name, because they had just done that.
Yeah.
And she goes like, no. And she's like, I can't believe you would be thinking about this while I'm sitting here rotting. I'm like, you put yourself in the situation. Oh, she's literally psychotic. But anyways, that was the 5-minute conversation.
What else do you have to do, though, if you're just sitting there rotting? You might as well.
It's so stupid. But the like, how dare she say, like, that's what you're thinking about? Yes, you psycho.
What have you been thinking about?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so obviously they went to court, and she hired a defense team. And the defense team came up with this entire defense strategy that basically Michael was in on the whole thing. It made obviously zero sense, but they basically were trying to say that they both really wanted to be on reality TV, and they agreed together to pull this huge stunt, and then she just got, like, played in the whole thing. They interviewed Michael, and he says he has no involvement. This doesn't really go anywhere. She's just proven to kind of be crazy, and so they don't believe her. It didn't hold up at all in court. In the trial, the jury completely rejected all of her claims, and she was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Her lawyers decided to appeal it because they heard that one of the jury members found out some misinformation on Dahlia, that she was planning to kill her husband with antifreeze. And this wasn't actually true, so they got the whole trial thrown out, and they had to do a completely new trial. Jeez. Which is so frustrating, like, for him. Like, I can't imagine this being, like, such a straight-up thing. And it's like, we literally have, like, everything we need. And it's like, this guy has already gone through so much, and you're having him... That's so frustrating. At the second trial, she tried to argue police entrapment, and that the police set her up, and that she was innocent in all of this. Now, the reason that she was able to argue that the police department was corrupted was because they had been working, obviously, with cops. She tried to argue that they were only doing this to film it, and she says that they were just trying to get more attention and to get more deals with cops, and so they just, like, manipulated her into doing that. But I'm like...
Well, sure, if you weren't, like, on footage saying...
But
like,
she's saying, like, they made her do that.
How can you make someone say, I want to kill my husband?
You can't. Like, it's just stupid. But, like, there's multiple interviews with her. I'll get to this, but the trial, like, all this whole trial process until she gets, like, in jail, she's on house arrest for 8 years because it's just pending. And, like, she's done multiple interviews during that time, and that's, like, what she sticks with. She's like, no, I was innocent. I didn't do anything. Like, she still does not admit it. So in that second trial, the jury was split completely, which I do not understand how, why, but they were split in half, and so it was declared a mistrial. At this point, it had been 8 years. Oh, yeah, this is where I get into it. So she was on house arrest, but then in the summer of 2017, they finally had the third trial. The jury finally did find her guilty. It was unanimous, and she was sentenced to 16 years in prison. But since she was already... She had already served... 8 years in house arrest.
I knew they were going to do that.
They said they only
had
to do
half of it.
That's not
the same, though.
Yes. But they said a big reason was that she had her first son during those 8 years. And so they were like, which I don't like, who ca- I don't care. Like, you still did something wrong. But they were saying, like, they didn't want the son to spend, like, most of his life without his mom. I'm like, well, she probably shouldn't have tried to murder someone.
No, it's not normally something that's, like,
that would be considered.
That actually makes her probably more of a danger to her son.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't understand that.
Yeah. Also, she's, like, house arrest, but she's giving interviews and stuff. Like, she's not...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. In September of 2019, this is the most recent thing, the Florida Supreme Court rejected without comment a request from her for the court to review her conviction, obviously rejected. So Dahlia is currently in Palm Beach County Jail, where apparently she leads a Bible study group and is like known in her jail or whatever for being like the faithful woman. So,
yikes.
Yeah. If you have time, go back and watch the Cops episode, especially when you know, like, you see the footage of her coming up, like, after getting the call, like, from the sergeant, and she's so, like, what's happening? And then the moment he says, like, he was killed, it's, like, an immediate, like, act. It's, like, almost as if she got on stage and was, like, all right, action. Like, it's so ridiculous. And that's crazy. Her face is just frustrating to me. Every time she talks, I'm, like, ugh. But, yeah. Her mom still, too, is, like, fully on board with her and says that she got, like,
oh yeah,
they messed her up and all this stuff. And but it's funny because Michael's reaction to everything, like in trial and stuff, he's like not happy, but he's like so like, it's almost like you just have to laugh so you don't cry. Like he's so over it that he's like laughing at some point.
It's like such a crazy situation.
Yeah. And like the defense is like, you think this is funny? And he's like, I shouldn't even be here. Like he's so like annoyed and like over it. And he's like, this has nothing to like, I should not be in this situation. You guys put me in this situation. So like the least I can do is like be over it. But yeah, that's their story. It's very interesting. It's just funny.
That's crazy.
To look at. Yep.
And now we're on with the dad.
Oh my gosh, it was so cheesy.
Yep.
What? Wait, so none of you guys wanted to do anything?
Tell us about your escort experiences, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, mine was never that crazy, I'll tell you that much right now.
Well, I've had two crazy ones and one normal one, so.
Which one do you want to hear about?
No, that was fascinating. I think that Dahlia deserves an Oscar. Or maybe not. I don't know. I really want to check out that video that you're talking about. But, yeah, that was very fascinating stuff.
This would happen in Boynton Beach.
Well, it's always Florida nowadays, you know? Florida just...
Also, Boynton Beach is a boring, boring town.
That's what I'm... So it does surprise me that's happening in Boynton Beach.
That's what I'm saying. Like, true. And, like, this guy having a midlife crisis, that's, like, Florida in a nutshell.
Where is Boynton? Was it West Palm? Like, is that the area?
It's just, it's like south of Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's near Boca-ish.
Interesting. Interesting people down there.
Interesting people all over Florida.
True.
We don't have any notes on this episode.
No, not really. Filling it up. I want to watch that episode of Cops.
Yeah, Cops. That was a good show. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
That's what you gonna do when they come for you? This is clearly a girl.
Yeah, for real. Bad girls, bad girls.
It's a different show.
Yeah. Oh.
That's why they didn't sing that. See, you're complaining, and then we do this. Girls Gone Wild.
She could fit on Bad Girls Club.
Girls Gone Wild. Honestly,
I can see some of those ladies hiring a hitman to kill their client. Isn't that what he was to her at one point, right?
Yeah, and then they got married.
Oh,
yeah.
I read a story on Reddit of an escort who actually fell in love with her client, and the client fell in love with her, and then she actually left the escort business, and now they have a stable life together.
Wow.
I don't know about stable, but
interesting.
Good for them.
I mean, what do you mean you don't know how stable that is? They're completely stable. Like, sure. They're normal now. They're a couple. It's pretty cool.
Sure. I'm just saying, a man who is willing to do the escort, like, situation is not fully ever going to, like, at any point, he could get bored and then just do it again.
Sure, yeah. If your foundation of the relationship is that you were an escort and you found at some point there could be a temptation to go back into that.
Yeah.
But.
I never thought of that.
But you can find love in any areas.
Yeah, I'm a romantic, so I was like, look at this beautiful couple.
Good for them. But just know, you know. Just don't hang on to your relationship very tightly there.
Hold on. You clearly haven't heard the story of how Jan and Bella met.
Oh, sorry, guys. My bad.
I mean, Jan was the escort.
And let me tell you, I was making some good money. Now my life is just expenses. We should start our own podcast, Steven.
Well, be sure to email us what you think the baby's gender will be.
Oh, I would like to go on record as saying it's going to be a boy.
Girl.
You always think it's going to be a girl, no matter always, what pregnancy.
Like, Steve and Ashley have been pregnant 10 times. No, but we've
had,
say that.
We've had many pregnancies in our lifetime.
We have had many pregnancies.
That you have predicted a woman.
Ashley, you haven't had any other pregnancies, right? Okay. Well, at least not that I know of. Okay. Well, who knows? We'll find out.
Well, where do you feel the baby? Is it, like, forward? Is it up? Is it, like, in your spine? My mom has this whole theory about it. Like, if you feel it in the back, then it's a girl. If you feel, like, really forward, it's a boy.
Your mom's voice is really deep.
Whatever, dude.
Oh, jeez.
But, yeah, I'm saying it's a boy.
Okay.
A little Steven running around. What's up?
Well, I don't know if I have a preference, honestly. I'm going to be happy either way, but...
Boo.
We shall see.
Jan.
I'm just saying.
When we find out, we'll update you guys.
Oh yeah, when the frick do you find out? That should be like right around the corner.
We're still deciding on that.
Freaking go get the blood.
Should be soon.
I've decided for you guys.
Oh my god. Anyway, see you guys next week.
Shotacrime@gmail.com. Peace.